time for the In the Conversation podcast with Funny Man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yes, yes, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back, Black History Year for October. You know what I mean? It's coming up. We about to close it on out strong, but it's looking great. It's amazing. How you doing, man? How you been?
I'm doing good, man. Don't close the year before the fall hit. You know what I'm saying? Gotta let the fall relax a little bit. Just got cool.
Nah. We're gonna rock out. Scorpio season is right on the way. You know what Word. I mean? That's a moment. You know what I mean? So shit. We'll celebrate. Yeah.
Word up.
Oh, shit. The fall guy. I saw somebody. I saw who said that shit. Shout out to Bonsu Thompson. I saw he wrote some shit. Call me the fall guy. That made me remember that old show, The Fall Guy. What was it called? I think that maybe that was the whole Nah, it wasn't TJ Hooker. It was all in that same cohort. TJ Hooker. The Fall Guy, Magnum P.I., that was a moment in TV back in the day, back when it was very few blacks.
Yeah. You was forced into white culture. Mm-hmm. You knew all of them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You knew definitely. That's back when you knew the difference between Tom Selleck and Ted Danson and whomever. Yeah.
Molly Ringwald Michael Landon. Started to look cute.
Oh man, yeah, I got it. Which one was Molly Ring? I know Molly Ring was in a bunch
Breakfast
of
Club,
them.
Breakfast Club, Redhead, Freckles.
Yeah, no, I remember Molly. She was 16 Candles too, or no?
Yeah, 16 else. Candles. Yeah, definitely. She was the main one. It's like you're bought into their storylines. You know, it's weird how that works because they just this. That's all that's there. You know what I'm saying? Your grandma watched, you know, General Hospital. Mm-hmm. You watching The Breakfast Club and you know, 16 Candles, like you said, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where, you know, Sean Penn was the cool guy.
Right. Yeah.
Fonzarelli and shit, Happy Days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Saved by the Bell a little later on in life.
Yeah. Coolest black nigga on TV was JJ.
Yeah, never was a big JJ fan. I was more of a George Jefferson cat.
Right, but I'm saying George. As far as young and black, yeah. Like he was the only one that was out here, you know. He was an artist coming through with the bell bottoms on.
Right.
Walking
right,
cool.
Right.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it wasn't a lot of representation.
I know, I see it. I got you. Nah, I just wasn't a big JJ fan, though.
No. I wasn't God. Either. That's what I'm telling you. He was just the only one.
Oh man, that's funny.
JJ and Willis.
Willis was cooler than JJ to me, even though JJ was a little older than Willis.
Willis, you know what I'm saying? Willis was the cool big brother.
Right. What you talking about, Willis? That was the shit. Oh man, I remember seeing Gary Coleman in the mall one day. In Riverside, California, he was looking bad. This was like right before, maybe a couple years before he passed away, but he didn't look good at all. Like, sad to say.
Didn't he go to your college?
No, that's Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, Emmanuel Lewis. Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, that's all good. Yeah, Emmanuel Lewis used to come through in a big-ass Escalade. Let motherfuckers know.
These residual checks still hitting.
Yeah, hell yeah. I remember as a kid, I used to think how he lived was the coolest shit. Like, just how he had that little, I forget what they call it, a dumb waiter or some shit like that, where he he came through the wall, remember? Like, he had like a little secret compartment. There was a lot of little secret compartments back in the days. Or not even that, but like silver spoons. Ricky Schroeder, the way he had that little that train through his house and shit. I was like, oh, they doing it. That was crazy. That shit was. I thought that for a while. I thought that's how, not all, I mean, I was, you know, it was, I hadn't been exposed yet, but for a while, I thought that's how all white folks lived. I was like, oh, they doing it. That's what they got. They got trains in the crib. Wow.
See, that's how they got us fucked up. That's why that's why people are always comparing the best of white people to the worst of black people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, white people, oh, they train their kids how to invest and buy stocks. Man, that's a small percentage of them. We just don't know many of them. You know what I'm saying? We just watch TV.
That is a very small percentage. Yeah. I got up around some white poverty, though, early on in life. I got to see it up close.
Where?
This was in Gloversville, New York. Like a fresh air fund. I think I told this story before, but I used to...
I didn't know they was impoverished.
Oh, no. Well, it went to... I thought I told that story. Yeah, man. The first few years, it was on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Shit was very idyllic.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was a divorce.
And then.
And then we was in the hood. It was in the hood situation, the white hood. It was
divorce was the great killer of white prosperity in the 70s and 80s. You know, they had 50s was the heyday of white prosperity.
Right.
Then the new technology of divorce came through in the 70s.
Shit came through like a hurricane and toppled the buildings.
Yeah, I saw that during the white flight era. That divorce made them can't flight no more.
Yeah. Clip their wings.
They're trying to get flued out.
Oh, man. Damn. From white flight to trying to get flued out. Damn it, man. Well, we up right now. We doing okay. So let's bask in this moment. You know, shout out to anybody that had their wings clipped due to a disunion. You know what I mean? I don't even know if that's a word, but you know. Hopefully you bounce back, you know what I mean? And I don't have any more else to say. I don't really know much more to say.
Nah,
you ever be in the middle of some condolences and you just don't know where you're going with it? You just want to get the awkward moment done. You're like, man. So you know.
It was really just, you know, you started to see, oh, they just like us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, equalizer. Man. Yeah, that shit.
You in this house that you can't afford too, huh? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was just that made me like one of them other cable movies from that era was The High Cost of Living, How to Beat the High Cost of Living. Yeah, to Beat the High Cost of Living. Where they, you know, it was some divorcees living in the suburbs and they plotted a robbery of the money ball in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very intriguing on one of them cable movies. And 9 to 5 was another one, was like, you know, some little struggle, white struggle going on. Man, oh, they ain't that far from us. Shit. Dealing with that type of shit. 9 to 5 was, who was that? What's the lady name?
Dolly Parton, right?
Dolly Parton, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to Dolly Parton. I almost got the Moderna vaccine because of Dolly Parton. I really did on some fan shit, but go ahead.
Dolly Parton was a star of that early cable era. She had a few joints on there. She had The Rose, fucking 9 to 5. She had a lot of joints.
Yeah, I remember. I don't even think I seen 9 to 5. Obviously, I know the record, but I don't think I seen it. I tell you a really good divorce movie, though, The Squid and the Whale. We talk about white divorce. That's a good movie. It's just a movie about a couple getting divorced, but it's just acted really well. I forget who the actresses are. I mean, the actor and the actress. I can't remember off the top. It's a Noah Baumbach film, but it's dope. It takes place in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and one of the things that I could appreciate, like the one thing that really pops out, is they show this cat trying to find parking about 4 times throughout the movie, and it is so true to life. I've never seen nobody really bring that across in a way that is so, like, and there's parts where he's like, you know, he got his kid, you know, his son or one of his sons in the car. He's like, you want to come drive around with me while I'm far parking. His son's like, nah, I want to get out. And he was like, nah, but get the fuck out of here. And it was just like, man, yeah, I appreciated that. Yeah, The Squid and the Whale is really good, though.
So that's obviously a modern movie.
Fairly modern. It might have come. Yeah. But I think it was supposed to be set in the 80s. I want to say it came out in 05 or something like that. But I think it was supposed to be set. Yeah.
In the 80s?
I think that's the setting for it. Okay. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be set. And it's like, basically, the dude is like a writer who at one point was doing well, or he had a book that came out of dead well, but it hasn't been the same ever since. So he's trying to figure it out. But, you know, he's still, you know, he's feeling himself as the intelligentsia. You know, it's still defined like that, a little bit of a, you know, a little bourgeoisie with it. You know what I'm saying? And his wife, she was kind of the housewife who kind of put her career on hold to raise the children. But then later on, she starts to kind of start writing, and it starts to hit for her. And it's just, it's a funny moment where, you know, tables kind of turn a little bit. But it's a really good movie because they hit some different things. And it's, you know, they're both real good, like really good actors in it, like really good characters in it. But the Pops, it's just funny to see him kind of, you know, take the L. You know what I mean? How it's kind of devastating a bit of his psyche. Because he, you know, he sees himself as one thing and it's not adding up. You know what I mean? So how he kind of reconciles that, it is funny throughout the movie. Yeah, you should check it out. I think it's on Netflix still. Yeah, right. I checked it out over the pandemic.
I'll check it out. I wonder if it was the pre-gentrification Park Slope. Because there's a movie called The Landlord. That was like,
oh, the Hal Ashby hood joint.
Huh?
Yeah. Hal Ashby. That's when Park
Slope was the hood.
Yeah. Right. Where he was the like the only white guy to move in the spot.
Well, he was the landlord of a building that had a bunch of black people in the hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the landlord. That was good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's enough about them.
Hilarious.
It's funny because my son, my middle son, who's in 12th grade, he wrote an article for the school newspaper that was called The Death of the Hood Classic. And he makes his case of you know, what's the criteria for a hood classic, and you know, how that genre is kind of fading out for right now. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was pretty interesting how he broke it down. I almost, you know what I'm saying? He said one of his lines almost got, you know what I'm saying, you know, how you get too deep into it. Like, hold up now. You're overstepping your bounds. He was saying that he said some line, and then he was saying, unlike the Friday sequels, you know what I'm saying? And I almost took it as if he was saying Friday wasn't no hood classic. I'm like, wait a minute now. You tripped. But he was saying that the sequels wasn't out. And I still had to be like, nah, because some of those, you know what I'm saying, Pinky and all them, Mike Epps, those still fall into a hood classic. They might not be as popular as the original, but they didn't fall too far off. So it was funny to have that debate with a kid who wasn't even born when those movies was out. And I'm like, where you did the research from? I didn't do no research. I'm like, oh, it's just osmosis, huh? You just
ain't do no research?
That's what he said. like he just noticed. Like, you ain't even seen these movies. What you talking about? But he was able, he broke it down. He must have seen them on, you know, on Netflix or something.
Right.
But he broke down, you know, his understanding of, you know, hood classics and how, like, with the expansion and inclusion in Hollywood of different kinds of black movies, that we may not see hood classics as often as we once did.
Interesting. How did he define a hood classic? Did it have a Did he have a definition of?
Well, how he it was made by black people for black people. It was set in a black setting, and the hood received it well. Those were the three criteria, I think. I'm going off the top of the dome, but I think that was the criteria. Yeah. I mean, I did not agree with what he was saying. You know what I'm saying? Except for that one little line about Friday. I was like, okay, that's on point. That's on point.
He touched you with that, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, you paying attention to the world, huh? Okay. Right. Because you don't know. Right. You don't know what these kids be thinking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. They just be sitting around complaining.
They peeping it, though. They like surveillance cameras. They see it all.
Yeah. You know?
It's always interesting, too, because I really peeped that. And it was very defined when I was on Clubhouse, like, last summer or whatever, you know, back when it was, like, really kind of going strong. I mean, it's still around. I jump in there every so often, but it feel like the old mall. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't. The traffic is different, you know. But I would see, and I think we talked about that. I would see, like, you know, based on your generation, that starts your viewpoint, you know. And you might have some context that was passed down, you know, from you through people talking about it. Maybe your parents was talking about it, older, you know what I mean? Documentaries, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever it was that kind of shapes the setting or the context for some of the stuff that you were exposed to that was there before you, you know? And, you know, it's almost like I was saying, it's like some of these young kids, it's like how they have, like, Civil War buffs. These are people that study the Civil War, but obviously they weren't around when it was going on, but they become somewhat documentarians, the historians of that era that they didn't participate in. And it could get a little tricky, you know, because if you weren't there, it's a different approach to what it is. And the thing is, they'll be talking about certain things with so much certainty that you almost, you know, not that you would ever forget that they weren't there, but, like, if you were there, like how you were, like, even in that moment with the Friday sequels, you're like, well, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe that's what you heard, or maybe the way in which you came and, you know, you came to it, or what you've read about it, or what you've seen, or whatever, it might have informed this take. But trust me, from being an eyewitness, this is what it really was. You know what I mean? This is how it really was. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to wave your eyewitness cards. Like, I was there. You know, hashtag, you wasn't there. Yeah. But I'll say to the hood classic thing, because that's a, I like that thesis. I think, though, one thing about the hood classic, and even, like, the B movie, if we go even broader, the B movie, the, you know what I mean, you know, whatever, straight to video movie, streaming kind of ate some of that up. Like, there's these hood classics, but they might not be, you know, marketed, you know what I'm saying? Like, since they're going straight to Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever like that, like, the hood might not even know, like, they might have known before. You know what I'm saying? Like, back in the day, like, you know, they might have been an ad in a hip-hop magazine. It might have been a little bit of TV ads during, you know what I'm saying, some type of black programming. You know what I mean? It might have been a soundtrack and all of that type of shit. Now a lot of these stations just drop. Like, I would imagine, I don't know if it's a classic, but I would imagine something trying to get in that genre is, you know, Boosie's new movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, supposedly it did 1 million in 1 week, allegedly. You know, who knows? That's what he's reporting. It did 1 million in 1 week. I mean, that's phenomenal if that's the case. And I haven't seen it yet. You know what I'm saying? I kind of, you know, at some point I might check it out. But I haven't seen it yet. But that could be in contention. Who knows? That could be in contention.
I don't look like it was embraced as well.
Yeah, we know Boosie's kind of he's on the fringe. You know what I'm saying? He's like an 85-year-old black man from Louisiana. Like, he got that sensibility. Like, his his OS is kind of it's a little dated. It's a little dated. It's a few updates behind. But you know, the people that he kick it with, their updates don't be as updated as well either. It's like, yo, they, because that's what Boosie say. He said, every time I'm in the airport, the old people say, keep doing you, Boosie. I'm like, all right, well, you know, they all right, they might not be on Twitter. But, what was I going to say? Yeah, there's like, there's that movie, there's a movie called Buffs, like a Detroit type of movie. There's a few of these little hood movies. I haven't been watching them like that, but I'm curious what your son would think of those, or if he's checked any of those out. You know what I mean?
Nah, I think he's and more if they talking meet
the
about
criteria.
I think he's talking about like the ones up above board. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
The bigger ones. The ones that made it through.
What was the last hood classic that you could remember, like in your mind?
That I watched.
That you were like, this is it. I think
One. Just let me hear yours so I could think.
If I'm thinking about it, just off the top of the head, it's probably something since classic. I'd probably say Paid in Full.
Paid in Full.
Go,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything.
And it's funny because I think he bookended the classics at Paid in Full.
Okay.
I think that's where he I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to go back and read it, but I think Paid in, well, Dope. I think Dope is what he said. he said Dope, though not a commercial success, you know what I'm saying, is a final goodbye to hood films as a genre. You know what I'm saying? Because he's saying that Dope brought in new ideas of what the hood was, you know?
Interesting.
Indie movie circuit, meaning that while it is a hood classic, it marks a departure from the formulaic hood movies of the past. Not actually by departing from the formula, but by injecting it with new ideas on what the hood can be. So boom. Then he said how Precious didn't meet the criteria because it wasn't embraced because it was too real. And people didn't
It sound like you. It sounded like you last week.
Yeah, man, it was.
Yeah, shit.
He said Precious is a hard to watch, upsettingly tragic movie. Precious serves to address the failings of our government and the community, but it does so without the reprieve of comic relief or the exhilaration of gun violence. And so it joins the pantheon as one of the greatest and saddest hood films ever made.
Wow. I wonder what else is in that pantheon. That pantheon is one of the greatest and saddest. Damn. That shit is great. That's funny. Gems.
Yeah, there's some good shit in there. But I think Paid in Full is one of the, you know what I'm saying, one of the bookends of the genre.
Okay. So who you got? What you got? I said Paid in Full. What you got?
I think Paid in Full is the last one that I've noticed. I would agree with Paid in Full. I can't think of any. I think, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, Friday probably is, you know, I think what he said about Friday, he also said that Friday gave us, you know, a different view, a different point of view of the hood, which made it was one of the things that made it stand out. I believe that. I think it's one of the, you know, the greatest hood movies.
Right.
Without being hoodish all the way. It was the hood in a way that you kind of related to it from an everyday perspective. It's like, you know, you got that one silly ass nigga who always fucking up, you know what I'm saying? One cat just going to work, doing his thing, you know what I mean? Graduated and just got a job, you know? So it had all the elements of the hood, but from a whole different perspective.
Yeah. You know, Friday was good. Friday was good. Just there. It was basically today was a good day on a certain level, but with some bullshit involved.
Right.
But it wasn't. Yeah, man, that was a moment. That was a moment. I'm trying to think. I'm gonna get at some thought. In the comments, if y'all got any hood movies that have come past Paid in Full or any nominees, honorable mentions, let us know. You know what I mean? Let us know what you rocking with. Let us know if you seen the Boosie movie and what did you think? I'm curious. I'm gonna have to check it out. We'll see what's what. I'm gonna have to get that some thought.
So that was a trip reading that, you know what I mean? And just looking at a kid's thoughts right. on, you know what I'm saying? On shit we grew up in and watching.
Yeah, that's cool. What class is that for?
No, this was for the school newspaper.
The newspaper. Oh, dope.
It's Stuyvesant High School, student newspaper. If you that's Google hard. It, it comes up. The Death of a Hood Classic.
I'm going to check it out.
By Asa Muhammad.
Well, shit. That's what it is. I meant to ask you, your son's named after Asa Hilliard, is he? Or no?
Nah. My wife, felt like that was a good biblical name.
Oh, okay.
She knew Asa. I mean, she might have brought that up because she came up with that. She the one put that one on the table. She could have heard it from Asa Hilliard first. Maybe I'll ask her. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that was the initial thought. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying? I thought it was a good enough name without sounding slave, like a slave name. You know, I went with that.
The death of the slave name.
Exactly. That was the whole point of my daddy doing this now.
Right. We don't want no slave names. What's a slave name that endured throughout the years?
I mean, which way?
What you think, like, if you're thinking of there's some names out there that you feel like still got a little slavery on them?
All of them.
Not all of them. We in a new era where there's not many that could be. I think we're in a new era. Like, we're in a whole new era of, like, we done flipped the names to a different level now. The shit done got creative. Like, I don't think Beyonce got any slavery on her. You know what I'm saying?
Niggas is still named Smith and Williams and Johnson.
No, I'm not talking about last names. We can't get away from the last name. I'm talking about, there used to be names like, and I feel bad because I know people with slave names, you know what I'm saying? But young people, but I don't even want to throw people Loretta, under the bus.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Otis Albertus. Got a little, Albert, Hattie, Geraldine, Cleophas. I'm trying to think of some. Cleophas, I ain't want to do it to Cleophas. Shout out to my man Cleophas. Yeah,
shout out to Cleophas. But that's one of them old ones, boy. That's straight out of the plantation.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. Is it any? I think we've kind of, for the most part, progressed out of that. That's like
Francis. When you track our family, it was a Francis in every generation, all the way back.
Yeah. I guess Francis is kind of on the
the spectrum.
On the slave name spectrum. Ah! Yo, if you got a slave name, shout yourself out in the comments or report a slave name friend you got. You know what I mean? Let us know.
Report them.
Report them. Anyway, that's what's up.
I don't even know why you went down that damn rabbit hole.
I don't even know. We got into it, man. You said you ain't want no slave names in your lineage, man. That's what made me think about
I was just trying to continue it, man.
No, I can dig it.
My pops went through a lot of hell to change his whole situation to that was different.
That's what you gonna name the baby? What? Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, we thinking about
Jethro.
Yeah, we thinking about Young Jethro. I think it's kind of you know, retro, a little iconic. We felt like, you know, want to take it back. No, don't do that. Oh shit, man. Woo. Yo, so I'ma say it, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. I'm probably biased. I'm sure people are biased. But I think Kane won that versus. I'm just going to go out and say that shit.
Mm.
Yeah, man. I think so. Go ahead.
That's a strong take.
Yeah, man. Listen.
Now, listen. You won it for me because I'm a Kane fan. But objectively speaking, KRS-One came with the shits. He was ready. Of course, we already knew that. He was already ready. He started off with the shits. All right, we ain't even going to wait for him to come on out.
Right.
Goddamn. Kid Capri, let's run it. And he, you know, he went straight to his joints. He went straight to some joints.
What did he kick it off with? He kicked it off with Step It To A Round?
Nah. Step he it kicked to... it off with one of them other ones. You know, one of them
first new.
Album was... joints. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, word? I thought he kicked it off later.
It might have been a second. It might have been a second album, but it wasn't, you know, Step It To The World. He brought that later. I remember he came with that. That's when you realize that he had too many. His joints went further into the history map, you know what I'm saying, than Kane's. You know what I'm saying? Kane tapped out around about 90, 89, 90, 91 maybe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's when he was, you know, Madonna had him fucked up. I'm going to blame it on her. But KRS was still rolling strong through the 90s, you know what I'm saying, with some joints. So that's when, you know, Kane got stuck in the Kane era. But Kane was cool all the way through. His nigga didn't bust a sweat. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Kane knew every fucking word. You know what I'm saying? That shit sounded like it sounded in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? KRS-One was kind of switching his flow up and, you know what I'm saying, doing a whole lot of top of the lungs and, you know what I'm saying, whole lot of jumping up and down. You know, so he was coming with the rah-rah of the scenario. Kane stayed cool, though. You know what I'm saying? That's what I appreciate. Now, I did say, you know what I'm saying, if you had to, you know what I'm saying, kick it at somebody's crib, KRS or Kane, I'm definitely going to be at Kane's crib. He looked like he know how to host a party. You know what I'm saying? Like when he brought Scoop Love out there, he's like, "Yeah, come on, man, take your jacket off, man, get comfortable, man, come on now, get your shit together now." You know, Kane act like he done did some living.
Yeah, where you going, man? We here for the night. Come on, what are you talking about? Yeah, why you still got your coat on? We in round 11.
Yeah. KRS look like that shit gonna have a bunch of ashtrays. You know what I'm saying?
Takeout boxes,
Chinese. Yeah. From two days ago.
Yeah.
KRS-One.
He ain't got nothing to drink.
He ain't offered you no water, no nothing.
You kind of got to offer yourself. Right. Hey, you got any water? Oh, yeah. Hold on. He's looking at the cup.
Before you go get the water, I want to tell you this. You know what I'm saying? Play that joint, Kid Capri.
Right.
You're like, damn, nigga thirsty. Kane serving motherfucking good whiskey and crystal.
Yeah, it was good. Kane was a cool motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like that, and it was such a juxtaposition next to KRS-One. KRS-One going in, he had it on paper, you know, and he had the records. And there was moments, even as it got a little later on. It was that moment when they was kind of going back and forth for the freestyle tip, or was supposed to go back and forth for the freestyle tip, and you saw Gary Westwood say, "Fuck that, let's get back to these records. This nigga's like gassed out." He didn't want it on the mic like that, which was a little interesting. He was like, "Fuck all that, I got records. I don't need to just freestyle." But you said it already, but the juxtaposition. Kane was in pocket the whole time. Sensibility-wise, rhyme-wise, the cadence was there. Even though we said his cadence could be dated, it was it it worked. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because the breath control was still there, right? Whereas KRS-One, who got hits and got records that would resonate still to this day, you know, Black Cop would be one of those. Sound of the Police would be one of those. He was like on like 15. Like he could have, if he'd have took it back a little bit of a notch back, like he was super hype. And I don't know, at first I thought maybe it was nervous energy or whatever, but you know, this is the Blastmaster. Mm-hmm. He's just as adept as rocking the crowd as anybody else to touch that stage. So I felt like his hype levels was just, it never leveled off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then it was like, for you to be the teacher, for you to be somebody that could be spitting that shit, you weren't like you wasn't saying your rhymes like that. Like he was coming in a little bit. Like he was like, I'm like, yo, what's going on here? So that kind of was the, if I'm looking at that. And then I think Kane played it way more strategically than what I expected him. He kind of spaced out his big records to kind of, you know what I mean? You know, like to tentpole the set around records that we may have forgotten. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, like, and then, you know, doing a little freestyle situation. There were moments that, like, I didn't like when he tried to rap on the trap beat. You know what I mean? Like, he ain't need to do that because it was like he didn't really adjust his flow. He just brought that fucking 120 BPM flow to a trap record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cool thing about Kane is as fast as he's going, he's still saying some shit. Mm-hmm. It's just that you kind of got to, listen. You know what I'm saying? But with that trap shit, that was one of the few moments where I was like, all right, take it easy. You ain't need to do that. Mm-hmm. It was that. And also, you know, it also makes you, you know, it's like when somebody kind of sets a precedent, it's funny who follows it now, right? Like, KRS-One and Kane are gods, right? You know, Fat Joe and Ja Rule are legends. You know what I'm saying? But everybody can't do that Jada moment. Everybody can't have a DJ, yo, throw on an intro, I'm going to get busy, I'm going to kill his freestyle one time. Like, why that resonated? One, he killed it in a way where, one, nobody had done that up until then. Mm-hmm. And he was so in pocket, the shit was, you know, it was, ain't nobody ever been able to replicate that since, but people are now, since it's an outside thing, there it seems like that's almost in the run of show. Right. You know what I mean? Jadakiss solo freestyle moment. You know what I'm saying? Because it went so viral, and I don't think nobody's ever been, not yet, been able to do that any justice. There's been some attempts.
Well, the Jada freestyle moment doesn't work without the discombobulation of Dipset. You know what I'm saying? It was the juxtaposition of his focus within the chaos that made it what it was. Right. If everybody was kind of flowing and there were, it wouldn't have been the same moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, KRS and Kane, they grown as fuck. They handling themselves like grown men. They, you know what I'm saying? They you know, giving each other their turn. You know what I mean? I know KRS, you know, line stepped a few times, but you know what I'm saying? Pretty much everybody was in on the run the show. You know what I'm saying? This is how we doing this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It wasn't a lot of chaos. You know what I mean? Like with the like even the rest of the locks almost descended in that chaos. Jada was like, okay, man, we gotta stay focused, man. We gotta stay focused. This is New York. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So because he had to kind of regulate the stage, that's what made the moment. Is like somebody took charge and took control of the stage and then hit him with some raw shit. You know what I mean? So you didn't have that moment here. You had something totally different. You know what I mean? I think at the end, it felt like KRS-One kind of, you know, line stepped a little bit because they were supposed to end. It looked like they were supposed to be over. It was supposed to be good. Boop, boop, boop. You know what I mean? And then KRS-One like, yeah, you know, boop, boop, boop. Yeah, we just going to end this thing. And then he's like, but Channel Live, come on out. You know, he's like, wait a minute now. I thought you just agreed to end the shit. Now you're going to bring out a whole guessed. He bro did three more records. Kane was standing to the side like, nigga, this we was supposed to be done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they never got the ending that it looked like it was supposed to have, because it looked like Kane was waiting on it, but it didn't happen. He just walked off.
Yeah. It looked like they had, well, from what I seen, they actually had there was a run of show that they were supposed, or they had agreed to go in a certain manner. Like, they was going to do, I think, 10 records up front. Then it was going to be like a B-boy battle. Then it was going to be like a freestyle battle. It was supposed to go like 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. Then it was supposed to be a DJ battle. And then they finish up their show. So, because like initially, when I watched it, it looked like Scratch was really wanted smoke with Kid Capri. You know what I'm saying? He kind of like, yo, what's going on? Like, Kid Capri is kind of like, kind of being like, yeah, he like, my man, I'm chilling. And then KRS-One kind of had to shut the whole thing down a little bit. And, you know, Kid Capri had to kind of, you know what I mean, like, hold his tongue a little bit. And I'm like, damn, why this nigga Scratch so, like, pressed? Like, anybody that knows Scratch, because, you know, he get busy like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's nothing that's undiscovered. You know what I mean? He's been on quite a few verses already, kind of showcasing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kid Capri is more of a party DJ. So I'm like, damn, why is he going like that? But then after the fact, because I guess he got a lot of flack, he put out this whole thing. He put out like the runner show. This is what it was supposed to be. That's why I did this. It wasn't like I was coming for the motherfucker, you know, like unwarranted. Mm-hmm. So it was that. There was a few moments, though. There was that moment. And it was funny because I felt it, but it was funny because I heard Kane speak to that shit. Mm-hmm. When Buckshot came out, and then Buckshot started like rapping towards Kane and approaching him. I was like, yo, Kane look like he might put hands on this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had that, because, you know, it's a different, Kane got a different sensibility. This nigga like just chilling in the cut, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you can see, you know, like, he ain't trying to, look, his patience is finite on a certain level. Got the fedora on. You know what I'm saying? Like, my man, you about to really encroach on my personal space. Mm-hmm. And your lyrics sound a little too pointed. You know what I'm saying? I'm for you to be Buckshot Shorty.
Hit you with a hard bottom toothpiece. Pop, pop!
Yeah, hit you with the Wrath of Cain. Yeah. So he pivoted a little bit. I don't know if he felt that energy, but he pivoted a little bit. Gave him a pound. Yo, I look up to you. Da, 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 da. But it looked like he was trying to, you know what I mean? He was gunning for him, and then he kind of put his pistol away. But so Kane was talking about that, and he was like, man, I ain't know what was going on in that moment, but I knew anybody could get it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, yeah, man. That was a moment.
And that happened a few times with KRS guests. He was like, get your man, get your man.
The Daz Effects moment, yeah. He was like, what's up with your man?
What's up with your man? Like, your guest is, I don't know what you've been coaching them, but they got the wrong one. Yeah. I didn't even know what the fuck Daz Effects looked like.
Nah, I didn't. It's funny. I mean, I did. It's been a long time. I couldn't tell you who was Crazy Dre's. I couldn't tell the difference between who was who. You know what I mean? But, you know, that was interesting. Mad Lion came out, looked like he was just shit. Been. Yeah, he rocked it, but he looked like he was in like a one of them, what do they call them? The little chamber that Walt Disney supposed to be in. Yeah, my man like looked like he ain't aged
time
a day.
Chamber, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like, yeah, he was on. He's aging man, like Pharrell.
His moves was fresh. He still had the same moves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Voice was the same. Yeah, I felt with
the leather even looked fresh.
Right.
The leather looked all right for him.
From the era, but you know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
It didn't look wrinkled. Didn't look old.
Yeah. Right. I did see one thing that reminded me watching this versus was. I never was really able to pull off a bubble vest. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I bought the wrong bubble vest. I tried a couple times, but it just never really, I never felt all the way comfortable. I always liked it. I don't want to say I had bubble vest envy back in the day, but certain people that could kind of, they could pull it off. Mm-hmm. Certain shit, you know how you say certain shit when you talk about certain things in blackness? That might not be your forte. You know what I mean? Like, and that might, you know what I mean? That might be a New York blackness or whatever, or East Coast blackness. But the bubble vest, it always felt a little, lopsided when I play it. You know what I'm saying? Or my vest wasn't sitting how it should sit. So salute. There was quite a few bubble vest appearances in this presentation. Some better than others. You know, Fat Joe had a luxury bubble vest. You know what I'm saying? But he did. You know. Yeah, man. I was peeping it. I was like, damn, that's something I really don't participate in. I've given up the ghost on the bubble vest. This
man,
not for me.
I had a couple bubble vests, you know, Justin, you know, from the New York era, you know, didn't need a bubble vest in Miami, of course.
Right.
It's a certain aesthetic, you know what I mean? You can't wear it every day, and it's like a certain kind of bubble vest I don't even attempt anymore. So because it makes you look like you're attempting to be younger than you might be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like a bubble vest is mighty youthful. You know what I mean?
yeah. It's got a lot of attitude to it. Yeah.
So now my vest is a little more, you know what I'm saying, a grown man type of vest with mine now. You know what I'm saying? Less bubble in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
More vest.
Right. Right. Less bubble, more vest. Yeah, now that I thought about it, my vests are hit or miss with me. Some vests are a little better than others, but I don't take a vested interest in vests. I don't know how to do it.
The vest nowadays, like the winter kind of vest, like I used to see, you know, you see the bankers and all them mugs wear them vests all the time and shit. And you know, you felt like, you know, that's a white man thing, you know. But and you'd be like, man, it's all cold in here. You know what I'm saying? You got on that little ass vest. You know what I mean? He's trying to show off that he, you know what I'm saying, from Europe and shit and could take the cold and shit. That's how you be thinking. But really, once you really got the right fit on a thermal vest, you know what I'm saying? Them little jokers work better than the big bubbles, because the big bubble jokers got too much draft in them. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
if you ain't got the right fit on your bubble vest, it's a draft that gets caught up in between. You know what I'm saying? And it defeats the purpose of the vest. But when you got on one of those, you know, thin, fit it right, you know what I'm saying, right up on you as a layer, I'm like, oh, this how this shit supposed to work.
And
that way, like, you could get away with doing something warm without doing something bulky, you know. Especially like when I was shooting, the good thermal vest was, you know, leave your arms free to move about, but keep your core at the right temperature. I appreciated the vest. And as we move on in this conversation, I actually bought a new vest this weekend.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
Yeah.
Shit. One of the slim pieces?
Nah, it was one of those. It was more of like it's actually a hunting vest, but I needed it for utility. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Got it.
We're shooting down at Jackson State homecoming.
Okay.
And you know, we
like
was
a safari kinda, looking vest.
Yeah, it was a safari esque or hunter esque. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
It looked like I know what it looked like. Looked like nigga was about to go skeet shooting. That's what it looked like.
Okay. Little duck hunt.
Little skeet shooting. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit.
Some shells in your shit. Yeah.
Yeah, with some shells in this pocket. You know what I mean? Flask in the other. You know, that type shit. But, you know, we down there shooting, and, you know, those big events like that, one, homecoming, two, you don't know where you're going to be able to park. So you having your car as home base might not work because you might be too far, you know?
Right.
So I was like, man, I need something to hold, you know, these batteries and just all kind of utility shit that you got to carry with you when you shooting. Couple other lenses and shit. And shit, I was very happy with that purchase. It was an awesome purchase.
Spur of the moment.
It was just a split second decision because my homeboy who was shooting also, he pulled out what I thought was a vest, but it wasn't a vest. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, I might need one of them. Because, you know, you thinking, do I have to carry this backpack all around? That's terrible when you got to shoot in a backpack. But then you can't put the backpack down at no homecoming. You ain't got no accommodations to hold it and store it. So I'm like, let me get this vest. The vest was dope. You know what I'm saying? It made the whole experience better because I ain't had to worry about, you know what I'm saying? Do I need to stash this over here? And I had to go back over here to get this. And nah, I had everything right in its proper place. Right. It's dope. Right. Made things more efficient. You know what I'm saying?
Looking like one of them B&H motherfuckers.
Yeah,
you know, they definitely be rocking them vests.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mine was a lot cooler because it wasn't a B&H vest. So. It was a skeet shooting vest. It's looking like Denzel in American Gangster when they was skeet shooting.
I gotta remember that. I gotta look back on that. I gotta look back on that. That reference.
He ain't have on the vest. He had on a shooting jacket, but you know what I'm saying? You know the vibe.
Okay. I got you. How was Jackson State? Wait, that's in Mississippi?
Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson State.
How was it?
It was dope, man. It was dope. You know, I've been to a lot of homecomings, but I've never been to theirs. I've never been to Mississippi on purpose. So, I've passed through it, but I've never, you know what I'm saying? I know it's even stopped.
Never intended to go.
I'm going to Mississippi, you know?
Right.
You know, they got Dion out there. So, you know, it's something that's drawing people out. So that made it a homecoming of note. You know what I'm saying? It would be his first homecoming in the wild. And so.
Did you get to shoot him at all?
Nope. Nah. They was very protective of Dion. You know what I mean? But, you know, he had the the ankle thing. He had a fractured ankle or something, so he was like on one of them little knee scooters and shit. So kind of put him out of the, you know, scope of where we were at. And
got it.
So I didn't get to shoot Dion, like, not yet. We probably go back and really shoot him, but I didn't get to shoot him on this run. And he had my dog out there.
Who's that?
My favorite young rapper, Young Dolph.
Dolph from Memphis. Okay. I saw a little clip. He was in the locker room with them getting
the mic. Locker room. You know what I'm saying? He was the locker room celebrator with the team.
Now that was after they won or before they won? That was getting them hyped for the game?
That was after they won. You know how like the big college coaches bring in, you know, one of them rappers to kick it with the team, whoever the team fuck with, and they bring them in and, you know, celebrate with the team to help morale and shit. Probably one of
that's
them.
That's a
kind
wild
of
booking. Yeah, that's an interesting booking because, I mean, is it a rap if they don't win? Or do you still got to go on with the get hype? That's a tougher gig when they don't win.
I mean, you might just jump in the sprinter and dip.
I think so. I think you might have to take that check. Yeah. Keep it going. Listen, we tried. Yeah, it was a gamble.
But I don't want none of that losing energy on me, so I'm going.
Nah, not at all. I definitely don't want to be on video with these motherfuckers. Not this week. Yeah, not this week. Maybe next week. I'll do something via Zoom. Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, Jackson seems to be one of the few Black colleges to actually have a homecoming. I don't know if FAMU canceled theirs, but I know
FAMU
Clark
is
canceled theirs.
Go strong.
Oh, FAMU is going to rattle on, huh?
On next week, baby.
That's what's up.
We're
going to
talk about
that.
We're going to talk about that. So,
You know, so keep going. What's the Jackson? How was the Jackson State vibe?
I like their vibe. It's real cool. It's real peaceful. But it's, you know what I'm saying? You could tell, it's, you know, they hype. You know, the way that their campus is set up, you know, is very streamlined to, you know, that one strip where everybody who's coming to the campus is going to be on this one strip. So it makes it easy to find your folks. It makes it, you know what I'm saying, easy to make a smaller crowd look bigger than what it actually is. But they had a great time. It was a great vibe. We were following Cortez Bryant. From Blueprint Group, used to manage Nicki and Drake and Wayne, Young Money, you know, helped co-founded Young Money Sports and stuff. So he was, we was following him, and he was doing his thing and moving about. Definitely, the celebrity of the school. You know, definitely got great connections. Everybody fucking with him. Introduced me to a lot of the people that worked with him in his career that all came from Jackson State. So, you know, it's interesting when you see, you know, crews from their school come together and actually be super successful. Like the guy who do Young Money Sports, he from Jackson State. CJ, who worked with Drake, you know, when Drake be like, CJ got the credit card and a whole lot of ones. He from Jackson State with them. So, you know what I'm saying? It's interesting to watch as somebody from the outside of, you know what I mean, fly on the wall. And watch how it all go down. And they, you know what I'm saying, like the way he do the homecoming is different because these, you know, he throw a party on the Friday and the Saturday and shit. But the beauty of that shit was he throw a free party. And it's like not no outside, just random free party. It's a real party. It's in a venue, you know what I'm saying? You got performances and drink, you know what I mean? But it's free, which takes a heavy load off of homecoming when you're trying to make your decisions on what you're doing and you ain't bought no ticket for the party and not a line down the street. You know what I'm saying? It alleviates all that shit. It's just enough room to accommodate everybody and you make it free. That's something I told him, I was like, man, fam, you ain't got no free parties for niggas. That shit is going online and get your ticket, man.
Gotta make this paper. So who underwrites it? Who underwrites the
I didn't get all in the business. I'm just saying that. I ain't seen no sponsor signs or none of that shit. Look like they did.
And it was official. It was a good party, drinks. Yeah, it was food, official.
Good party. DJ. They had, you know what I'm saying, a couple of like, you know, $5,000 acts performing. He had Shy performing. He had Pastor Troy. I guess from their era that was, you know what I mean? Pastor Troy was the shit. So you know, it was a vibe. You know what I'm saying? They had their vibe. You know, they talked a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody think they homecoming is the best homecoming. You know what I mean? That's just HBCU. Yeah. But that's how it's supposed to be. You know? It's supposed to be that. Right. You know? Because it's the place where you came of age. That's the place where you discovered your grownness and had your fun and figured out what you was going to do in life with the niggas who was around you. So
learned how to party.
Right, learn how to party, learn how to do this, learn how to all that. You know what I'm saying? So, first time grown away from your mom and them. So, yeah, it's going to be the best place ever. And ain't nowhere else in the world like that. Especially at an HBCU because, you know, it's all black. You ain't got no, you don't have the white gaze. You don't have the police gaze. You don't have the hood gaze. You just got y'all in one place. You know what I'm saying? My homeboy was like, he was talking to his son and said something about something white. Oh, he took him out to dinner in the regular city. And his son told him, he was like, man, I forgot white people existed. You know what I'm saying? Because he had NCANT, you know what I mean? So that's how it is when you're on an HBCU campus. And if you didn't go there and experience that, you wouldn't necessarily know that. You wouldn't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Even if you black, if you didn't experience it, you wouldn't really get it. So it's good to watch it and good to see it. They had a great time. They tailgate shit was, you know what I'm saying? They was having a great time out there. You know what I'm saying? They was getting it in. The game had 50-something thousand people. It's supposed to be the biggest HBCU crowd homecoming ever. So, you know, it was good. It was cute.
Did it look like it? Look like the biggest homecoming crowd ever, you say?
Yeah. But see, the thing is, they don't have a stadium on their campus. So they're using, like, the municipal stadium. You know, most HBCUs have a smaller stadium. So, no, you're not going to have 50,000 people at homecoming because your stadium might only fit 25 or 30. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the advantage. Like, if you know, some of these schools put their homecoming game at a municipal stadium, it might be different, but most people have their stuff on their campus. So, I give them an asterisk on that.
Okay. How'd it feel to be around 50,000 people in the midst of a pandemic?
I wasn't around them. I was down on the field, so I wasn't that close to them. But I felt like I left there with COVID. But, you know, hey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, fuck it. Ah, it got me. I had a good time.
He got the COVID, dog.
Yeah, shit. That is a damn shame. That's the new parting gift. You're like, well, shit, I had it. It was worth it. It better feel worth it if you're going to get it. You know right. what I mean? Shit, man. Right. I done felt it a couple days this week. It wasn't always worth it, but hopefully I ain't got it. Mm-hmm. I told you. Oh yeah. I might just double back on that at home COVID test. First of all, they never even asked to see the test. They was definitely taking on our honor. Like we could have definitely just said, "Yo, yeah, I did it." I could have not done it and said whatever, but I did it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Maybe I ain't go all the way in my nostril like I should have. I went enough to where they gave me the feedback that I needed and said no COVID. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about maybe copping a couple just to have on hand. You know what I'm saying?
Know somebody with some.
Oh yeah. Well, I know I got a plug, but if you got a immediate plug, I might. Man,
if you got a plug, shit, it might be closer than my plug. But yeah, I definitely got seen somebody say, "Yeah, I got them COVID tests." Like, damn, nigga, why you got them COVID tests?
You get them on Amazon. You get them at Walgreens and shit like that. Speaking of homecomings though, which is interesting, I'm just keeping a little bit of an eye on it. I ain't all the way in super deep in the story, but I don't know if you're peeping it, but there's like a whole lot of not a whole lot, but there's some there's a sit-in going on at Howard. Mm-hmm. Like you know, these kids are saying that the living conditions are not up to par. Mm-hmm. Considering what they pay in tuition. So they've been doing a sit-in in Blackburn, and this is kind of the week of Howard Homecoming. They still got the Yard Fest scheduled. Funny thing is their Yard Fest this year is actually... Oh, well, I'm looking at it. Maybe I'm looking at something dated. I guess maybe they did cancel it because I saw that it looked like it was still on, but I had also seen that certain artists were dropping out.
Yeah, I think they canceled Yard Fest and the tailgate. So they're gonna still do the game with limited capacity, but they didn't they canceled the Yard Fest and the tailgate, which is right there on the quad as well on Saturday. So that's their big shit, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, funny thing was they planned to have the Yard Fest indoors and it was gonna be in Crampton this year. Ooh. which is different.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. That don't even make much sense given if you're trying not to have COVID. Yeah, but that was what it says on their website. It was supposed to be there at 7 p.m. It was a late one, too.
Oh, that's the homecoming concert. There ain't no damn Yard Fest.
But they got it listed as Yard Fest. Right. They got it listed as Yard Fest.
They just want to use the brand, that's all.
Salute to all the people out there trying to, you know, doing their protest over there, Howard. Salute to the Howard alumni. If y'all got some more insight, hit us in the comments. That's kind of crazy though. Jackson State.
Shout out to
Deion is definitely helping.
Shout out to Deion, Cortez, Brian, you know, CJ, you know, and they whole little crew. Definitely got shit going on. It was definitely fun hanging out and being hosted. Like when you're hosted at a, you know what I'm saying, a new HBCU, it's always different, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And
you know, hey, what you drinking, man? You know, pointing, you know, what you want, you know, off the grill. Even the strangers, you know what I'm saying, was showing love. Even the strangers was showing love. Like, you know, we was shooting and one guy who was like, you know, they've been tailgating in that spot, same spot since, you know what I'm saying, the 89 or something like that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you want a plate? I'm like, man, what you got? Mm-hmm. Everything was pork. I can't fuck with you.
You're like, well, fuck you then. Hold on, let me ask you this. Anything, did you eat anything good? Anything fire? Any fish?
It's working. Too much working. You know what I'm saying? When I'm working like that, I don't really eat to the end. You know what I mean? So... And then
I think go ahead.
Homecoming ain't for eating good.
No, it's not eating well, it's not good for eating healthy.
Right.
But I say this, and maybe it's Howard, and I think FAMU, Mm-hmm. Not even the AU, but and I don't know what goes in what order. But I might have to put homecoming fried fish at the top of the fried fish list. Mm-hmm. In my mind, like, I, you know, there's certain places that I could think of. Like, there's plenty of places, you know, in Harlem, just particularly, mm-hmm. where you get fried fish. Mm-hmm. And some is better than others. You know what I mean? Depends on what you like. Some is, I like a good crispy right out the oil type of fried fish. And I think the fried fish, and maybe it was just in that moment. It was either at Hampton, it was either at Howard, or it was either that FAMU. No, I know it was at Howard, but I think I had some at FAMU too. But I know for sure I had some fried fish at Howard. That shit was out of here. Like so much so that I made this proclamation. I think homecoming fried fish is like the top tier. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what I mean, Hood Spot fried fish might come in second. You know what I mean? We could go from there. Well, I mean, I might even put At the House fried fish over Hole in the Wall fried fish, depending on what hole in the wall you're going to. But go ahead, you were about to say
it's now, not homecoming good fried good. Fish is good because it don't give it enough time to not be fresh. You know what I'm saying? Because as soon as you pull up and as soon as the grease get hot, the line finna be there. You know what I'm saying? So really, you always playing catch up when you got the fish. You know what I mean? You playing. You trying to play the line the whole week. And from the time you touch down to the time you leave, you're going to have a line at the fried fish spot at homecoming. So that's one thing that it don't leave enough time for it to not be good. It don't sit around. It ain't never no time where it could sit around because it's always a line.
Right.
You know? So I can see that.
Agreed. Done. Agreed. Yeah.
At FAMU, they got a dude who got that little conch stand. Shit down there be impossible to get some conch. That line be thick all the way all weekend. Conch salad, fried conch. So
you get both together?
I don't really buy conch salad from outside.
Okay.
Cause you know, conch salad is like ceviche. So it's like cooked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, it's cooking in the vinegar type shit.
Right. Right,
that
right,
shit,
right,
I need some good refrigeration on that.
Yeah. You don't know how long that shit been sitting out.
Right, that ain't for the outside homecoming festivity.
Right.
For me, you know what I'm saying? People get it.
I dig it. Mm-hmm.
But I like, you know. So fam, you having a homecoming, which is finna be off the chain. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So Will Packer is... They built an amphitheater where the girls' dorms used to be. And they're naming it after Will Packer. I think it's the Packer Pavilion or something like that. So
that's big.
So that's going to be a movie because, you know, they're going to have Stephen A. Smith doing First Take from the stage. Then Kevin Hart doing his serious show from the stage. Then I guess they're going to do their form of Yard Fest after that. So that's already... on a whole, you know, and then, you know, he put out a little promo, fundraising promo with DJ Envy, Taraji, and all the other HBCU people, you know what I'm saying, the other day. So the hype on it is real. So, fam, you're very competitive. They just entered the SWAC, you know, with a newly formed rivalry with Jackson State. So...
okay. Yeah. Are they playing them that weekend?
They played them in the classic. The first week was the Orange Blossom Classic in Miami. So
I heard about that.
Yeah, they played. You know what I'm saying? Jackson State won by like 1 point or something silly. You know.
Oh, all right.
You know, black colleges they don't really kick field goals that good. So. You know how that shit be. There always be an extra point missed somewhere. Nigga, you can't get an extra point.
That shit is extra.
So that's gonna be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ready for that.
Yeah. That's next week.
Yeah, on the weekend of the 30th.
That's hard. So Will done displaced the female dorms, huh? Where do they stay now?
Now they moved them, you know. Again, you can't keep them dorms, you know, too long, or your kids will be protesting. You know what I'm saying? Them
can't win for losing. Huh?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got to keep, you got to keep developing. You know, so yeah. they've already developed where the girls' dorms at now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They moved all of that shit down by the stadium, like down the hill. All the stuff that used to be on up top, like the girls' dorms, the calf, and the post office, and you know, the set. The whole set used to be right up there at the top of the hill.
They moved it.
Yeah, they moved it down.
Set?
You know, damn. I don't think they, I guess they, I don't know if they officially call that shit down there the set, but the set's still the set to the old people. You know, the old people going to go straight to
it. Oh, cause, so it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah,
it's
the street is still there where the set is, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what still people still be there homecoming, you know, it's still some activity up top right there. So I think that pavilion will help.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the more unrecognizable your campus look when you come back for homecoming, the better your school is doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, because, like, when I go down there, a lot of that shit looks totally different. So they done built all types of new things and stuff like that. It don't even feel like the same campus. I guess that's a good thing, but it's hard as a touchstone, it's a little murky, but it is what it is. I was going to say something about, speaking of that, you said they had kids out there protesting. I thought I was watching one of the little videos of the protest from Howard. And they interviewed this one kid. None of the kids wanted to be identified because, you know, they don't want to get expelled. Understood. Mm-hmm. They got their face masks on. You know, you can still kind of know who's who.
Mm-hmm.
Know who's who. Mm-hmm. But one kid was like, you know, I don't mind being expelled from school because, you know, if as long as when I look back, you know, they have better, I hear they got better conditions, I'll be like, well, I helped make that happen. And I was like, I want to know what your parents think.
What your mama
with
say.
That statement. Well, that fucking action you talking, you know, with not your money.
70,000 in, 80,000 in, you talking about you wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't mind, exactly. Oh, shit, man. But, you know, look, man, that's generational. Somebody got to push the line. You know what I mean? So salute to those out there. Salute to the, you know what I mean, out there making good trouble. anyway, shit, dude. Did you see the BMF?
Yep. Did.
I just saw it today. Okay. Yeah, I had to catch up.
Yeah, I seen it. I'm getting used to the flow.
Well,
we got the Pat.
Huh? Yeah. I was about to say, well, we got the Pat episode that you were saying that was needed. That came a little later, but we got a little bit of Pat backstory. A little quick montage.
Right, we got a little quick joint. Yeah. I think they just should have went on ahead and started with that shit, you know, and played it all the way out instead of giving us flashbacks. But you know, I'm starting to, you know, feel the flow of how they do it. So, you know, I'm not I'm not on that this week. You know what I'm saying? I actually enjoyed the episode. You know what I'm saying? I really, you know, Pat Wood Harris again is the real MVP on that show. He holding that shit down. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's very real, very authentic. I think Lil Meech, to be a young dude playing somebody from that era and he wasn't there, I think he's doing a great job. You know what I'm saying? But I like his character. I'm starting to feel that character a lot more. You know what I'm saying? I like his growth. You know what I'm saying? This episode especially is a turning point for his character. And I fucks with it. You know what I'm saying? I like how he holding that shit down. He got good presence on the screen. So I'm rocking with that. So to the storyline this week, you know, they hit the stash spot. Well, they hit the truck. You know, they came and, you know, made noise at the truck. And, you know, they're just fucking with these young boys. And it's funny because, you know, Lamar's supposed to be an old school nigga. So it's you know what I mean, it's fitting that he would be fucking with them the way he's fucking with them. And then just take their shit. And But I like how T was like, man, what we gonna do? T was like, man, we ain't gonna do nothing. Take me home, go to bed. Shit, I'm tired.
Yeah, relax. I gotta shit. Take a breath. Yeah.
There's a lot going on, nigga. But right. What tripped out the hole in the motherfucker story is, okay, T made a deal with the plug, who he now realizes is the plug.
Lisa. Yeah.
But they ain't got no money. Didn't they just get robbed for all their whole stash?
That's what it seemed like. There were a couple things that didn't add up. But yeah, it looked like that. And now, I guess, based on that little footnote that Meech says at the end, it seems like hopefully it'll all be worked out. But it seems like T kind of betraying Meech a little bit. Or, you know, setting up his own thing independent of him. He said, you know, when I tried to set some stuff up outside of Pat, it was like turning my back on a father figure. Uh-huh. And T took my lead and turned his back on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it looked like. So I don't know how that reconciles itself. But
in the
game, that was interesting.
In the game, though, I like that they point that out. Because, mm-hmm. and especially in the crack era of the game where, you know, that shit was just moving so fast and everybody was, it was the Wild Wild West. Everybody right. just figuring this shit out. T still in high school. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
the thing about it is, you know, like it's moving so fast, you trying to grow just as fast as you getting it, right? And that's what mm-hmm. he was trying to tell Pat. But now they in a situation where they blew that whole plug, that whole Pat situation. You know what I'm saying? T stumbled across the plug, and now he got the plug. And that's the who he who hath the plug has the power. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. like, nigga, what you want to do? And they brothers, though. So, you know how that's going to turn out? Oh, damn, little brother got the plug. God damn, this nigga putting me on. And then you just work it from there. It shouldn't be no trip. It ain't like he double crossed him or no shit.
I thought they went back in with Pat after they dealt with homie.
Well, Pat say bring him his motherfucking money because he had fronting them the two. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now he want his bread, which I don't know how they gonna do that because they ain't got no bread.
Right.
I don't even know how T finna cop. You talking about he want to buy his up front. With what? Unless T got his own little stash.
Which I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know if he got that much stash.
Right.
There was a little inconsistency. Right. Go ahead.
So, it's not really adding up how they going to bust these moves and all that. But, you know, it's interesting. What you think?
I'll say this about T. One thing, speaking of his performance, and I'm trying to figure out, I like the lazy eye. I like how he's coming, because that's a hard thing to pull off. And I'm trying to figure out, that's what I'm thinking. Is it a prosthetic or is he holding it? Because, like, I don't even like playing like that. I never, you know how certain people be fucking around with their eyes and they do the wild shit to get laughs and shit? I always was like, nah, that shit, you fuck around. Because I remember trying one time, I felt like I done popped a ligament a little bit. And I got scared to death. I ain't never want that. Shout out to my lazy eye people, low. But, you know, like, I was like, if he pulling off a lazy eye, like, in the acting, that's another level I got to give him. You know, you got the Face Acting Academy. I think that's a category, lazy eye. But maybe it's a prosthetic because it's consistent. Like, once he took his shit off and he saw his eye was wandering, as homegirl said, I started paying attention because he started doing more scenes with no glasses. So I'm like, is he committing? You know, I thought that was cool. I thought the moment in the sneaker store, that disrespect felt palpable. You know what I'm saying? It was just everybody all around. And I thought, I fuck with Lamar. You know, I like Lamar. And I sent you the thing. I didn't know Lamar was from the UK.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was an English cat, which threw me. But these English cats is killing them. They like operatives.
Right.
But go ahead.
It does explain his off brandness though. You know what I'm saying? Because it's something about him that's a little off kilter from you know, from black. But go ahead.
See, I kind of got more from him, more like old head was in jail, so he's disconnected to this new generation. He kind of, I don't want to say a relic, but he kind of like, he ain't going to be all the way in step with what these young kids is doing. He's still kind of, you know what I mean, and to straddling it.
You're right. And that kind of lends a hand to it being a foreign character. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, it's probably easier to make that step. But go ahead.
Right. So I like that. I like his character. What did I like? The Kato thing, that shit starting to feel a little sloppy. It's a little all over the place too. Like, tone wise, it was a good episode, but there were some moments with a little things that kind of was, you know, like, okay, the first thing that I peeped that threw me, and maybe this is a little small thing, but I thought when Meech brought T to the stash house, it sounded like that was T's first time ever at that stash house.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, this is what's up. I like this, whatever, whatever. Right. But when Kato and homie came through to get the bread, T pulled up the cushion on the couch and got the bread. Like, how you know that? You just walked in 2 minutes before. He didn't show you where the stash was at. I thought that was a little, that's just more of like just an inconsistency.
T went and got the bread?
Yeah, T went and got the bread out the couch.
Right.
I'm like, how you know where the stash is at and you literally just got walked in here? This your first time even, you ain't even sit on the couch yet. So that was one. But then it was a little odd with Kato when Lamar came through, put the gun in her mouth, you know what I mean? Told, look, you know, I know you, whatever, you trying to say face out there, but if you ever lift a gun to me again, I'll kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and she looked shell-shocked. Next scene, she over there with homie. I don't know if that was to throw people off or she was just, she had to compartmentalize in a different type of manner, but that shit just seemed erratic as fuck.
Well, she probably was just shook, you know what I'm saying? Need to blow off some steam. It's a hard, long day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She done
almost got
big homie killed. You know what I'm saying? She, you know, it's been a rough day.
Maybe. That's what I'm trying to give her, that benefit of the doubt. But it was just the way it kind of played out, like immediately after she over here. Like, and then, you know what I'm saying? They could have showed a little bit more of her, like, kind of processing that and like making that decision to, you know what I mean? It just felt a little off. That's just my own thing. But other than that, man, we getting to see Meech's. Was the first time we ever seen Meech's baby moms and the kid, the baby?
The baby looked like
the baby looked like she didn't know who he was. When he picked the baby up, the baby was looking at the moms like, yo, who is this?
Who this?
Who is it? Like, you got to watch it back. Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know how they got that out the kid actor, that little baby, but whatever, they made it. Maybe they just kept Meech in his trailer and kept the baby moms with the baby for a while, but that shit paid off because that baby looked scared. Like, yo, who arms am I in right now? Ma, what are you doing? That was real interesting. Y'all got to watch that again because if we talk about face acting, that baby is nominated. I'm telling you, that baby is one of the best babies so far. And baby looked over like, yeah. Yeah, watch that shit back. Please watch it back. You know what I mean? That was interesting. They about to jump off. She getting undressed right in front of the baby. I mean, I guess the baby ain't going to really process all of that.
But it they left the, pops, the baby but out there by the baby
self. Right.
Come on
now.
What was the baby in the crib? What was the baby just crawling around?
Right.
We out of here. Go ahead now.
Right.
You know what?
Maybe that's why that baby be looking so wary. The baby just is on its own. Because even the moms was like, come on, you ain't come here to see that baby. I think she even said that baby. She didn't even say your daughter. She said, you ain't come here to see that baby. Like that, who the fuck? So that was that. That was interesting. What else? Homie. I like homie, though. My man that got shot up. I like that cat. I like this. He had good instinct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had good instinct. You know, Lamar and Cash Doll. I forget what Cash Doll's what you call it, her mm-hmm. character name is. Mm-hmm. But you know, they doing what they do.
They went in on that little scene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they went in. It was funny. She put her own leg up.
Yeah, I like how she had her own shit, right? Now. She like, okay,
yeah. All right, let me do this.
Come on with it.
Right. Yeah, that was cool. What else? Oh, the pops. You know what I mean? Pops and moms. It was looking like it was going to be something, but the cops came through.
Mm-hmm. Just remind me. I don't like on the internet how they sound like Meek's biggest hater. You know what I'm saying? And they got
Lamar. The cop?
They got Lamar, then they got his daddy. Like, his daddy ain't really a hater.
He's a father.
He's a father. But you know what I'm saying? Trying to, you know what I mean, enforce what he feels is right. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of like fall back for the, because it's the money, but you know what I'm saying? Come on, like, it's real life, man. You could do that shit all you want to keep it away from my house, you know what I mean? And right now, that's not what you're doing, you know? And you don't want that to overcome, you know what I'm saying? All your work and sacrifice is nothing no more because, you know what I'm saying, your son out there selling rocks, you know what I'm saying? And and you feel that your wife deferring to your son who's now, quote unquote, the breadwinner. You know what I mean? Right. It's a interesting dynamic that the crack era put parents in. You know what I'm saying? You see it on Snowfall with Franklin's mother. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know it ain't right. You see what it's doing. You see what's happening in the community, but it's coming from your house. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
You could be a capitalist about it and be like, shit, but we getting bread. Or you might have some type of moral. You probably was already had faith. You've been made it this far through life. Without that, and you know, you putting food on the table and y'all, you know, putting the pieces together and you know what I mean, and faith has brought you through, but now you putting faith in the dollars and it becomes a whole different thing that a lot of people don't talk about. You know what I'm saying? It's just a thing that people don't talk about, you know?
Yeah, I like how they doing that. I like how they doing it too, because it rides that line. It's like, you know, and not only just the moms, but your other son, you know, T said to his pops, he was like, well, don't let your ego get in the way of this family. Like, what? Hold on, fam. Like, it's deeper than this ain't my ego. You know what I mean? Listen, son, this ain't my ego. This is my these are my morals, which I thought I instilled to y'all. So, but, you know, to say, just to show how sensitive it is, you know, he must have considered that. Because at the end of the christening,
that's sitting in his chest, because in that moment he probably was operating from his ego, not in totality, but just in that moment. Mm-hmm. I ain't even coming to that christening, none of that. You know what I mean? I ain't coming to eat with y'all, none of that shit. You know what I mean? Because he in his feelings.
Yeah, and in that moment, what was so interesting was he had conceded. He was like, yo, I wouldn't miss it for the world. We're going to be a family again in this moment. And then here come the cops. And it just shows how disruptive what they doing is to the family.
To you know everything. What I mean?
Pulled up at the church. Yeah, the church.
But,
you know.
But see, but then only T could have delivered that line because he the favorite child. You know what I'm saying? He's the one who could really do something, you know, that none of the rest of them had done, you know.
Right.
Shit, he the man.
And you can't black his eye. Yeah, because he shit is, you know, he's in the rears right now. I was gonna say something. What you think of Pastor Snoop?
That shit is comical, man. That wig they got on his head covering them. Yeah, that shit is comical. I mean, he getting it off though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that is just like Snoop. You know what I'm saying? You know that's some bad acting. You know that's Snoop Dogg. You know what I'm saying? He ain't even breaking character that much. You know what I'm saying? His own character.
Right.
But he get away with it because that's Snoop Dogg, man. Look at Snoop.
He got pastor energy. Yeah.
Look at Snoop.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I'm trying to think, man. I enjoyed it. I'm ready for the next week. I'm locked in. I thought this was it was definitely a good Pat episode.
Yeah, I fuck with Pat, man. Even though he on that crack. But you know,
he's still,
you know, a formidable OG mm-hmm. on the decline. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Still, right. even though, still know what time it is, though.
Yeah, he ain't all the way done. He ain't right. all the way off.
Count me out.
He might double back. Yeah, he might double back. He's on point. Even his mans ain't know. That was a nice little spin. Like I said, man, the Kato thing is a little, she got to figure it out because Meech seemed like he on her. And they, you know, everybody else kind of going against, you know, like they kind of trying to talk him out of his intuition. But mm-hmm. it seemed like from the door, Meech ain't really trust her anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's that little relationship between Meech and my man. What's my man's name? That's jumping off with Kato. Yeah, his homie smashing Kato.
Pussy.
That shit always seems so unbalanced. Like it always felt like something. Like I'm waiting for the shoe to fall there.
That's the one that you already know. That's the given.
Yeah. Then I don't know whatever happened to my man. I think Fillmore or Flipmo, my man that was in prison. I mean, not in prison, but in the hospital. I guess maybe
he went to North Carolina.
Maybe Lamar met. Oh, he did.
Okay. Remember that the police was saying that his mother said that he went to North Carolina. She hasn't heard from him and it doesn't know where he went.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he dipped. He went on ahead and dipped.
Interesting. I wonder if he's gonna come back or that was the end of him. Wonder if he wanted any revenge.
He probably popped back up season 2.
Yeah, probably. I
forgot about him. I think my man who you just said at odds with Meech, I think the flip might be that he really stand tall for him after he find out Kato is ops.
I think so, cause this kinda this was kind of the more of him being, what's the word? Like, what I do respect about him, even though I guess how it plays out, it kind of looks like there'll be friction between him. He, not to say that he doesn't respect Meech, but he don't cower. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to stand tall in his own conviction. Like, he was like, look, man, I ain't want to have to go back and forth with you while my mom's was laid up in the hospital. You know what I'm saying? I know I ain't hit you back, but, you know, shit is realer than whatever you talking about right now. Mom Dukes is in the hospital. I can't, you know what I'm saying? No disrespect, Captain, but I got, you know what I mean? Yeah, respectfully, I gotta be over there with Mom Dukes. You know, when I'm not there, I'm over here, just so you know. And I think maybe that Kato thing will give him the opportunity to redeem himself, and he might kill her. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. Oh, man.
Mike gets killer.
Yeah, damn. Shit. I think that's it, man.
All right, man.
Yeah, I feel like we here. We did enough.
No doubt.
We cracked it off. Let us know what y'all think. Let us know if y'all got any other, you know, insights, any theories, any predictions for this BMF season, how y'all feeling it. You know what I mean? And shit, until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.